Welcome back to Spoonful of Sugar. Today's episode is on various types of hair loss. Please welcome our host, Zane Sideyu, a third-year medical student at Drexel University College of Medicine. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy.
Hey, future doctors. Thanks for tuning in to Spoonful of Sugar, a podcast made for medical students by medical students to help the medicine go down. My name is Zana Sidio. I'm a student at Drexel University College of Medicine in Philadelphia, and I'll be your host today. Join us in this episode as we take a deep dive into the fascinating realm of hair loss, exploring conditions that tend to challenge medical students. From alopecia areata to trichotillomania, we'll cover it all. I'll be asking some questions, so don't hesitate to pause and think. Remember, this is just a review, so don't get disheartened if you don't know or remember something. Join me as I uncover the secrets hidden beneath the surface of the scalp. So first up is alopecia areata. This autoimmune condition is thought to be mediated by T cells attacking hair follicles. It often presents with sudden, non-scarring hair loss and well-defined patches on the scalp, but keep in mind that it can also impact other hair-bearing areas. You'll typically see what's known as the exclamation mark appearance, where the hairs become progressively narrower along the length of the shaft. It looks like your hair is floating in space. As they get closer to the scalp, they get thinner and depigmented, hence the exclamation mark appearance. Can you think of what the common treatment options are for alopecia areata? If you said topical corticosteroids or intralesional corticosteroid injections, you'd be right. There are some newer therapies that are used, like topical minoxidil, and JAK inhibitors have shown to have promising results in halting disease progression, but the mainstay treatment on the test is usually topical corticosteroids or intralesional corticosteroid injections. Now for another variant of alopecia called traction alopecia. This typically happens when the hair is pulled too tight in women or in men, and they'll usually mention something about braids or ponytails in the question stem. Can this hair grow back in traction alopecia? Nope. In this type of alopecia, the damage has already been done, meaning that this is a preventable but not treatable condition. We're going to transition now to tinea capitis. And if you recall, tinea capitis is a fungal infection, the tinea part of the scalp, the capitis scalp. Can you recall what the three common fungi that cause tinea are? They're trichophyton, microsporum, and epidermophyton. However, do you know what the number one cause of tinea capitis is out of all of those three? There's one that they like to test sometimes, and that's trichophyton. In tinea capitis, you tend to see a well-circumscribed patch of hair loss, but all of the hair will be equal in length. What do we do when we suspect tinea capitis? What's the first step? It's a KOH prep so that we can see the fungus. And what about the treatment for tinea capitis? Antifungals is correct, but can we be more specific and see what kind of antifungal we use for tinea capitis? It's an oral antifungal, not a topical. That is a huge distinction that they like to test on exams. For other sorts of tinea infections, such as tinea corporis or even pedis, the answer is usually topical antifungals. However, for tinea capitis, the answer is an oral antifungal, like oral griseofulvin. And on top of that, you need to treat these infections ASAP because it can actually cause permanent hair loss if not treated. So now we're going to talk about androgenic alopecia, otherwise known as male pattern baldness or female pattern hair loss. And in androgenic alopecia, specific postpubertal androgens are involved. Can you think of what that androgen is? Well, specifically, it's 5-DHT. This is designed to turn off the hair follicles. What 5-DHT does
is miniaturizes the hair follicles that then become friable and fall off. In men, this pattern is usually a circular patch at the crown of the head that spreads from there. Can you think of what it might be like for women? In women, it's actually a widening of the hair part. And what is a treatment for androgenic alopecia? First-line treatment is minoxidil, or finasteride. So how about trichotillomania? So trichotillomania is actually considered a psychiatric disorder that's associated with major depressive disorder, OCD, and PTSD. This is a woman who pulls on her hair as a compulsion to relieve some sort of internal stressor. Although this is psychiatric, this obviously has dermatologic implications. Because individuals are picking one strand at a time, do you know what you will find on examination? You'll end up finding unequal lengths of hair. It's a pretty big key distinction of trichotillomania. What's the best treatment for trichotillomania? Usually the focus is on mental health and psychiatric treatment. So that'll probably be the answer on your exam. Trichotillomania can actually lead to a pretty serious problem. Can you think of what that might be? Bezoars. So if someone eats the hair that they're pulling out, which is not always the case, but can be the case, this can cause a small bowel obstruction and potentially lead to some pretty devastating effects. So finally, in this episode, we're going to touch on how chemotherapy impacts the hair cycle. So people undergoing chemotherapy tend to lose their hair as the chemo targets rapidly dividing cells. So in order to understand this, we need to understand the hair cycle. It's four steps, and the first step is anagen. This is the growth phase that lasts years. The second step is catagen. This is where the hair is kind of just chilling out and the follicle is fading away. The third step is telogen. This is considered the resting phase. And finally, the last step is exogen, where is the shedding phase of the hair. So during exogen, new follicles have actually already started anagen to resume the cycle. Chemo causes something called anagen effluvium, where it causes damage to hair follicles so that they take this growing hair and they turn it into the shedding phase, hence the name anagen effluvium. So to wrap up, let's quickly review the highest yield phrases and buzzwords for each condition so that when we get these on the test, we will get them right every single time. So alopecia areata, what do we think of in terms of presentation? Well, if you're thinking well-circumscribed patches of hair loss and an exclamation point sign, you would be correct. How about traction alopecia? So for traction alopecia, on the other hand, we think of irreversible hair loss due to hairstyles that pull on the hair super tight. Can you tell me what the fungus that is the most common cause of tinea capitis is? If you said trichophyton, you would be correct. And if somebody has androgenic alopecia, what's the first line treatment for that? Minoxidil. If you get a question stem where they're trying to describe somebody with trichotillomania, what would be the hallmark appearance? You would have patchy, irregular hair loss with uneven growth. Uneven growth is a huge flag for trichotillomania. And then finally, what is chemo-induced hair loss called? Anagen effluvium. So today on this episode, we delved into various hair loss conditions, covering alopecia areata's autoimmune aspects, the physical damage of traction alopecia, tinea capitis's fungal infection, the hormonal basis of androgenic alopecia, and the psychological roots of trichotillomania. We concluded with an explanation of chemotherapy-induced anagen effluvium, emphasizing the importance of understanding the hair cycle and the impact of treatments, ranging from medications to addressing underlying health or psychological issues. I know that a lot of these seem confusing, but if you really focus on how the presentations of each of these disorders manifest, you should be able to identify them all on the test. So thank you all for listening. If you found this episode helpful, please subscribe to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, visit our website at spoonfulofsugar.org and post them under the link for this episode. Good luck with studying, and remember that if you ever have an SOS moment while studying, Spoonful of Sugar is always here to help the medicine go down. Thanks, guys.